Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning. We have had the past couple of days have been absolutely beautiful, haven't they?
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's because of a friend of ours who came to visit us from North Carolina. And since she's been with us, it's just been glorious. It hasn't been as hot as it is at home. And she is just, you're ready to move here, aren't you? No.
I told her to stay all summer.
Yeah.
How long is she going to stay?
She's going to stay for a few more days, we hope.
Yeah, till Wednesday.
Till Wednesday. Great. Yeah. Her name is Pat. And Pat has become a good friend of ours through the place that we winter. And her husband has passed away. And he was just one of the most wonderful men that I've ever known. Had such a wonderful heart. And it broke my heart when he passed away. But we know that he's with the Lord now. And so we can look forward to seeing Pat from time to time because of the friendship that God has allowed us to have. I think that, let me see what we need to do here. Oh, announcements. Do you have any announcements? Yes.
Today is Father's Day. And
yes.
There are donuts back there for all the men. And no more men than we have. I think they can have one for each hand.
One for each hand. Great. Yeah, I wonder, you know, for Mother's Day, the place is pretty well packed. For Father's Day, you know, not so. Is it because the fathers are allowed to go fishing or something on Father's Day? I don't know. But it's great to see all of you. We believe, and I mean this sincerely, that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in our midst. And so I'm not a numbers guy. Now, as a young pastor, yeah, I was. But I just believe that Jesus is in our midst. And I celebrate that with you. So that's one announcement that we have. Any other announcements or things that you want to share? I don't see any hands waving, so let's have our music. Thank you. That's one of my favorite hymns. Love and obey.
Trust.
For there's no other way to
trust
be. Trust and obey. Well, I like love and obey better, don't you? For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Thank you, Carol. Have you noticed how she keeps me straight? Could you imagine what it would be like if she wasn't here with me? Let me read the words from Psalm 100, verses 1, 2, and 3. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Let's sing our first hymn. If you are able to stand, let's sing hymn number 3. Like to follow along, these the words are always printed in the bulletin, which I appreciate. Reading from, again, from Psalms, Book of Psalms, verse 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or before you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And then we have this proverb, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. A generous man will himself be blessed, and that's true of women as well. For he shares his food with the poor. If you would turn to hymn number 8, there are two versions, and I picked the wrong one, so it's verse 8 rather than verse 9 as printed in the bulletin. And we can stay seated for this.
Yeah.
now have a time of sharing joys and concerns. Let's start with joys. What joys would you like to praise God for? Yes.
It's a joy to have Pat here this morning.
It is a joy to have Pat here this morning.
Nice to see you again.
It sure is. Any other joys?
It's a joy to be here.
It's a joy to be here? That's right, it is. Yes.
It's a joy, my great-granddaughter recovered from her illness and is running around as usual.
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. And that's good news, isn't it? Yeah, we lose some sleep over our children and grandchildren, don't we? Yeah, we sure do. I wonder if they lose any sleep over us. I don't know. What do you think, Pastor?
I don't think so.
Really? Will
they ever sleep?
Any other joys?
Well, I'm thankful for the rain, too. We've had beautiful days, but we've had good rain. You know, in North Carolina, Pat said they have not had the rain we've had.
Oh, yeah, it's been really dry down there. And hot, right? Yeah. We took Pat yesterday to the fort in Baltimore, Fort McHenry. Yeah. And that was her first time there. And it was just a gorgeous, gorgeous day. And it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other joys?
Well, I want to thank Bob and Carolyn for just letting me come stay home for a few days.
She always puts it that way. Several times a day she'll say, thank you for letting me come to your house. Like, you know, we would somehow, when we see her, we'd bar the door. You know?
she may not want to come all the time because our dog loves her too much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget to call first when you come to visit, because a lot of times we aren't home.
Yeah.
Call first, yeah. See, let me tell you my philosophy there. I love to visit people in their natural habitat. This week, even though I visited someone, I won't mention the name, it was about 10:30, and this particular person was still in their
pajamas.
Okay? And I just love to do that, to surprise people and see them in their element, you know, and see how they'll react. And the reaction of this particular person was just wonderful. First of all, she ran and put some clothes on. No, it was great. I do. I just like to. If you absolutely insist that I call, I'll do it because I'm your pastor and I love you. But I like to just show up and visit people as they are. And so.
Well, we'd be pleased to have you, believe me.
Thanks. Well, I visited you. I even walked down to the when you were mowing the lawn.
Yes, and Bob.
Yes.
Were you at Faye's house and left the door and left the book at my door?
That's right.
Yeah. I got that. Yeah. I'm sorry I missed you.
Yeah, I do my visits on Friday. And I actually, there was one person at home on Friday when I visited. And I actually thought seriously about going to the tomb of Francis Scott Key so I could say that I at least visited someone. But honestly, I did go to the home and discovered there that he wasn't buried there. So I even missed on that one. Okay, let's change the mood a little bit and see what prayers you have. And remember, a couple of weeks ago, because I don't know all of your names yet, at the end of each of your prayer concerns, we will thank God for caring for this prayer together. And I'll show you how we'll do that in a bit later. So, but what prayer concerns do you have? Yes?
I want to put Karen Elsie on the prayer list and Lottie Contest.
Okay. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. You hear all of our prayers, and we pray blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Next.
I'm going to talk for Ricky from the Baker family. They need prayers, especially Darlene. So please pray for their family.
Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Baker family, and we know that they have needs. And Lord, there isn't anything that's outside of your ability to respond to. And so we pray in Jesus' name that you would care for these needs. Amen.
And also Jean.
Jean.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We all can, but she's right here. Jean, Beanie.
Jean.
We call her Beanie. Jean. She's our Beanie.
She's your Beanie? Yeah. How can we pray for you?
Okay. Just going through some testing right now.
Are you going to have some testing done?
Yeah. She's yeah. Really good. She's reacting.
Okay, can we pray for you? Father, we thank you for this sister. I always love to see her because her hair is so beautiful. And she was home when I went to visit her. And I thank you for that. And now, Lord, she has some needs that we know that you can respond to. And so these tests that she's about to have, Father, we pray that you would supply all of her needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.
I'd like to lift up Pat, her one son's mm-hmm. family. It's Jason's family, and River, her grandson.
Yeah.
There's some special needs.
Yeah.
And he needs our prayers and just the understanding of his parents for his, is it ADHD?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and River is 12 years old. Yeah. And Pat just loves him to death. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for River and for the entire family. And Lord, we know that the care that he needs, the special care that he needs, is demanding. And so we pray for his mom and dad that you would help them to know what is the right thing to do in response to his needs, and then we pray that you would help them to do those things that need to be done, so that this issue that he struggles with will be less complicated because of the support of all of his family. And we thank you for the way that Pat regularly prays for him, and we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.
Including my wife and her prayers and so forth to help her through life because of her dementia and so forth.
Sure.
And she's having pain down her legs and so forth.
I noticed that today, yeah. And so, I unfortunately, I made a joke. I said, do you have pain or are you a pain?
Also, Frank's hip replacement surgery lifestyle.
But it made her laugh a little bit, and that's why I do things like that, okay? Yeah.
And he has hip surgery.
Well, the hip surgery, has that finally been scheduled?
July 2.
It's scheduled for July the 2nd.
July the 2nd.
So
okay.
I appreciate you and prayer.
Sure.
And that too.
Father, we thank you for these two, this husband and wife, who have been such an essential part of this congregation through the years. And like the rest of us, they're starting to get a little older and have some aches and pains that we didn't have when we were 17 and 20 and 30. And we pray your blessing on them. We pray for these pains that she's having, that you would relieve them, Father, that you would make yourself known in her life, even in the midst of her pain. And we prepare that you would be with our brother as he anticipates this surgery in July. Just be with them and watch over them and provide for all of their needs, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Others? Yes.
Yeah,
buddy.
Grandma, she's going through some treatments with a machine for her legs, so she don't have to go through this major operation. And she's got to do that 6 hours out of the day.
Okay, wow.
She's got to sit down for 6 hours, do a treatment for an hour on each leg for about 3 times a day.
Wow.
Machine to keep the circulation, try to open up the circulation in her legs so she can walk better.
Wow. And you said Wilma?
Yeah, she's...
Yeah, your wife, Wilma.
My wife, yeah.
Not your other girlfriend, Wilma,
no.
But your wife.
Not the other three, just the woman.
By the way, when I went to visit your home, I discovered you have really good watchdogs.
Yeah.
But if you want to come, if you want to see me, you better come after 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Some of the old people, we got to work for a living.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like we pastors, we don't have to work for a living. Is that what you're trying to say? Okay, Father, we pray for our sister, and we know that she's had some struggles over the past weeks and months, and we know that you love her. In fact, we know that you love her so much that you were willing to allow your son to die for her. We pray your blessing upon her. We pray that the doctors and the tests that she has would be done with wisdom and knowledge. And we just pray when she has these 6-hour stints that she has to do certain things, we pray that you'd be with her and those times would whiz by like not like 6 hours, but like 6 minutes. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Any others?
Just thankful to be here, Brother Bob, again, but my condition doesn't seem to go away, so we're still working with it. One of these days, the prayers will be answered.
Well, I'm thankful to see you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You do a good job on your grass.
His son does it.
Well, he was out on the mower that day, and I tell you, he was all the way down at the end of their property, and I was kind of huffing and puffing when I got back up to my truck. It's great to see you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Father, one of the greatest blessings in my life has been the honor of being a father to 4 wonderful sons, and I just pray your blessing upon them today, and I pray your blessing upon all of our sons and daughters. And some of us have not had the joy of having our own children, but we have been parents to many others just because you've enabled us to love on people, even people that we don't know and people who aren't our own children. And so we thank you for the loving kindness that this congregation gives to many in this community and beyond. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, O God, to us. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I guess since we did all that praying, we can move on. Yes. You know, that's a strong enough prayer. I'd like you to pray that prayer. And we'll agree with you in Christ. Can you do that?
The rest of scripture that's in the Bible talks about that the young will be vagabonds and beggars.
Mm-hmm.
It's already happened. Not just in Maryland, but other streets.
Mm-hmm.
And it should touch us as parents. What's happening at home that depending on the streets? It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened to the family structure? The kids are leaving home. Are the parents failing the kids? So God knows what's going on. It's becoming almost epidemic. What's happening on the streets?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that there's enough good Samaritans out there to reach out to the lost.
Yeah. Do you want to pray that, or would you like me to pray that? Okay. Father, I hear my brother's heart, and this isn't the first time that he's raised this concern, and I love the fact that he cares so deeply for kids on the streets that some of us we're just glad that we can avoid them, and. I was in Baltimore once when about 13 kids jumped on top of my car, and it was kind of a scary moment. And yet, these are children that you love. And many of them have been put in situations where they're fatherless, and it's very difficult for them to grow up in the same way that we've tried to raise our children. So we pray your blessing upon these thousands, these really millions of children all around the world. It's not something that we just deal with here in America, but it's all over the world. And we thank you for our brother who has a heart for these children and for families. And we pray your blessing upon him and all of the families that he regularly prays for. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready to sing again? Let's sing hymn number 131. And if you're comfortable standing, go ahead and stand. Seated. For the next 8 weeks after today, we're going to be going through a sermon series entitled Rooted in Christ. And I'll be preaching through the book of Colossians, which is a book that I've never preached through, even though there are sections of Colossians that are some of the scriptures that I absolutely love. And one of the things that I don't want to ever do is get into a path where I'm constantly preaching the things that I love to preach and not preaching the whole counsel of God. And so that's the reason why I've chosen to go in this direction this week. And so we're looking at Colossians, and I'll be doing it verse by verse. We're going to read the first, I'm going to be going through the first 14 verses of Colossians chapter 1. It begins, and by the way, Colossians is a letter, an epistle that that the Apostle Paul wrote to a fairly new church in Colossae. And he writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Now, Paul didn't plant the church in Colossae. It was a fairly small church. That was one of the things that attracted me to it. It was a church probably about the size of this congregation today. A church of maybe a couple of dozen. And today we just happened to have a couple of dozen here today. And that was one of the reasons why I chose Colossians, because it has some areas that are a lot like this church. It is, however, one of four epistles that Paul wrote while he was in prison. And there's a little bit of guesswork involved in which prison. Paul, unfortunately, Paul spent some time in prison and several prisons. And most scholars believe that it was in the Roman prison where he was incarcerated when he wrote this letter. And so that's just a little update, but now let's get into the meat of Colossians chapter 1. This is Paul speaking to these young believers in Colossae, and he writes, "We always thank God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and the love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you may already have heard about in the word of truth, the gospel." Now, the interesting thing about this is, for me, when I read this just earlier this week, the three most important words to the church, faith, hope, and love. And when he's writing to this young church in Colossae, he is affirming the fact that they're a church that, in spite of their small size, they have faith and hope and love. And the thing that I want to say about that to us, do we need some help somewhere?
I got a new phone and I don't know how to turn it off. I'm sorry, I just got it yesterday. I got to turn it off.
Many of us know the name of that tune, because Carol and I recently got new phones, and
it's the car.
Well, we got a new car too, yeah, but the car we can drive. The phones they do their own thing. Okay, getting back to faith, hope, and love. I think that's something we have going for us here: faith, hope, and love. And that is so important. It's way more important than having a huge congregation. It's way more important than having a handsome pastor. Sorry about that. It's way more important than having a big cathedral and being in a big city where thousands of people come. Faith, hope, and love are essential in the life of the church if we're going to be followers of Jesus and if we're going to do the things of God. Now, unfortunately for you, Carol and I spent some time in Africa, and so we can't help but have these wonderful memories of time in Africa. And so from time to time, some of these stories slip into my sermons, And there's one today that I want to share. There are actually two. Two of these stories that I want to share with you today, because they've been so important to Carol and I and our four sons who were with us during our first time in Africa. But we were assigned to open a new mission station, and there was a flood there, and the buildings were destroyed. And I wanted to weep, because I thought that would mean that we would have to go home. And we had just gotten there, and we had learned at least tried to learn the language that we would speak in that area. And then our area was destroyed. And so I went to the elders, the African elders of the church, and I said, "Oh, we're so sorry. We would have loved to have stayed here." And they said, "Oh, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, our project has been wiped out. We're going to have to go home." They said, "What?" They said, "Where would you like to go and what would you like to do? The needs here are so great that we can think of 24 places where we could send you where you would be an enormous help." And so we were sent to this little village about 100 miles away, the village of Gaba. And when we got there, after this flood that had taken away our church, when we got there, The little church there, it was a brethren church, had a special day of prayer the first Sunday there, because they hadn't had much water. And this was an area about 200 miles south of the Sahara Desert. And they only got rain at least 2 months out of the year, and they hoped for 3 months. And if they got less than 2 months of rain, their crops wouldn't grow, and they would have family members who would die of starvation. And it was getting close in this little village to being able to save their farms. And so the first Sunday that we were there, we went to church, and the pastor there said, "We're not going to have a sermon today, we're just going to pray today." And we got together. This is a church, interestingly, a church sanctuary, not quite as big as this one, but 350 people would fit in it. Now, they're a lot skinnier than we are. But they would sit on these pieces of stone. That was their chair. And that wasn't the most comfortable thing in the world either. And they would just pack this place. And this particular Sunday, we just started praying, and we prayed for 3 hours. And I don't think we were going to stop praying until God sent rain. But after 3 hours, the heavens roared. And we had one of the most profound rainstorms that I personally have ever been a part of. In fact, when we were leaving to get from our home to this little church, we had to cross a dry riverbed. And when we got out of church that Sunday, it wasn't a dry riverbed. It was a raging river. And our young sons, men, actually picked them up and carried them across the river so that they could get home safely. This was a congregation that didn't have a big church. People sat on stones. They didn't have a very educated pastor. They were in a village of maybe only 700 people. Close to the Sahara Desert. They were all farmers. That was their only way of sustaining for their life, for their families. And yet, the thing that we fell in love with almost immediately was that they were a congregation of faith and hope and love. They would have stayed there all day until God sent rain, because they were a people of faith and a people of hope, and a people who loved one another and loved all of their neighbors. And I see roots of that in this congregation, and that's one of the things that makes me want to come here and be with you. Verse 6 of Colossians 1. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understand God's grace in all its truth. So even though the church in Colossae was a small church and a new church, they began to understand the power of the gospel. And one of the reasons I believe that the church is struggling in America is that we're reaching out to other kinds of things rather than simply preaching and faithfully following the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, that's the only way we're going to be able to grow this church, is if it is rooted in Jesus Christ. Now, we have some traditions that are really nice. I loved being together with you at Love Feast. And you have a wonderful building here. But having a nice Love Feast and having a beautiful building, it is not what will draw people. It is when Jesus Christ is obviously present in our midst. That, and that alone, will draw people back to the church. And we see it everywhere. It's one of the blessings for us has been being able to travel in some parts of the world where the gospel is just exploding and churches are exploding in number. And there's just one more story that I want to tell about a pastor whose name was Expert. That was actually his name. When he was just a little baby, his father wanted him to become an expert at something, and so that's the name he gave him. And so Expert was the pastor of this church. And the particular church that he planted was a brethren church, even though he wasn't brethren. What happened was, one day he found a little booklet somewhere that was the story of Alexander Mack. And he read through this book, and he said, "We don't have any churches like that here in Burundi." By the way, Burundi is the poorest nation in Africa, Burundi. And so he found, and how he even got there, how he found this book about Alexander Mack, nobody knows. But he read this book and he said, "That's the kind of church I want to plant." And so he quit his job in order to plant this church. And the first Church of the Brethren in Burundi was planted in 2015. And they invited me to come there and preach a revival in 2024?
You were close.
Yeah. Same century. And when I went there, there wasn't just one church. There were 50 churches. 50 churches. And every night I preached to at least 1,000 people who came to hear the gospel. And after every service, at least over 100 people would come and ask to become Christians. Listen, the church in America we're going through a period of hard times. But God hasn't done with us yet. And I think God loves us, loves this church, and wants to see us become so committed to living and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ that people will just want to be with us. Because people aren't looking for religion. People are searching for Jesus. Now, they don't often know that it's Jesus that they're looking for. And so they reach out and get a new car and get all kinds of stuff. But none of those things satisfy us. It's only Jesus who can satisfy our needs and bring joy into our lives. Well, that'll be the last African story today. Colossians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. You learned from Epaphras. Epaphras was the young man who planted the church there in Colossae. You learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. And so, Epaphras, this young man, went to meet Paul, fell in love with the gospel, and went back and preached, started the church in his community in Colossae, and he would stay in communication with Paul. In fact, at one point, Epaphras went to visit Paul in prison, and Epaphras himself was arrested. And so another elder needed to take over the church there. We think it's hard to be church today. We don't know anything about what our brothers and sisters from years ago had to go through in order for others to learn the work of Jesus. Let's go on down to the first part of verse 9. For this reason, Paul writes, since the day I heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you. Now, the thing that blows my mind about that, just that simple sentence. Here's Paul. He's in prison. He's probably in prison in Rome. He's very likely awaiting execution. And what is Paul doing? He's writing letters to Christians all through the area, telling them how much he's praying for them and how much he loves to hear what God is doing in their lives. Not saying, oh, you got to pray for me, I'm in prison, and please pray for me. I haven't found any of his epistles where he asked for prayer for himself. He's constantly reaching out to others. And I think that that's pretty profound. Let's move on to the rest of the second part of verse 9 through verse 12. This is a statement of what Paul is praying for these people. Now, listen to this. This is something. He said, I ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and to pray in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. And I pray, bearing that you will bear fruit in every good work and grow in the knowledge of God. And I pray that you will be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And I pray that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father. And I pray that you will share in the inheritance of the saints in all the kingdom of light. Now, I mean, these are about 10 things that he prayed for with these people. And I just want to be honest, my prayers generally aren't quite that long. You know, Lord, remember Martin, and God, he's having some issues, and Father, would you please meet him where he is and help him to grab a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's kind of a typical prayer that I pray with people. Sometimes when there are greater needs, my prayers are... But never have I prayed a prayer like this for people that I've never met. Let me just go over the things that Paul prayed for. To fill them with knowledge that they might have wisdom and understanding, that they might live a life that's worthy of the gospel, that they might bear fruit, that they would be strengthened with all power, that they may have great endurance and patience, that they will joyfully give thanks to the Father, and that they will share in the inheritance of the saints and the kingdom of light. That's a powerful prayer. And I think at least one or two of those are needs that all of us have. And I think one of the most helpful things that we can do for one another is to pray for one another. And sometimes, in order to know how to pray for one another, we need to stop by and ask them, "Brother, how can I be praying for you? God has given me a burden for you, but I'm not sure how to pray for you. Could you let me know?" That's something that I do as a pastor, and it's something that it's pastoral work that we can all do, because, you know, listen, all of us have a pastoral calling. All of us are called to share the good news of Jesus with our friends and our neighbors and even with our enemies. The thing I like about the end of this passage is where he talks about us coming into the kingdom of light in verse 12, and then down in verse 13, he says, we are drawn out of the dominion of darkness. And I want to close by sharing with you a time of darkness that I experienced in my life. I was a pretty young pastor. I was the pastor at Meadow Branch, not far from here. And I discovered in my first winter there that I had a kind of a sadness. I didn't want to call it depression, because that's a big deal. So it was just kind of a time of sadness that I would have. And it made it really hard for me to pastor these people, because I wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning. But I was the pastor, and I knew that I had to. And for about 2 months, I just kind of walked through and did the things that pastors are supposed to do. But I did it only because it was the things that pastors were supposed to be doing. And most people didn't notice anything going on in my life. Apparently, I'm pretty good at covering things up. But what I had was sad. And my guess is that some of us have experienced sad. What's the SAD stand for again, Carol?
Seasonal affective disorder.
That's what I had in the 70s, but the name wasn't given to it until 1984. So I was suffering from seasonal affective disorder, and in some of our rural communities, we have different names for it. It's the winter blues. Yeah. But the official name is no longer the winter blues. It's seasonal affective disorder. And it's when we're having less light and some of us become kind of depressed. You know what? That never happened when we went to Africa. Some days the temperature was 120 degrees. And there was always a lot of light. Well, this is a story that has an end that only God could have constructed. One day, I was just so burdened that I didn't think I could do anything that was good. And I decided, I knew that we had some members who lived some distance from the church, even in the state of Virginia. And so I got out the church calendar, and I found the name of the person who was the furthest away. And I thought, well, at least for 2 hours or 3 hours of driving, I'll just be by myself. And I won't have to think about anything. And I won't have to do anything. I'll just drive my car. And so I drove that day to Fredericksburg, Virginia. And I got to the address. And this very elderly man's daughter answered the door. He was about 90 years old. He was living with her. And I went in and I introduced myself as the pastor of Meadow Branch Church of the Brethren. And she immediately began to weep. She said, Daddy is very sick. I don't think he'll be with us for more than a week or two. But just a couple of days ago, he said, boy, I wish I could go just one more time to the church that I grew up in, Meadow Branch Church of the Brethren. And who shows up? The pastor of Meadow Branch Church of the Brethren. And I began to weep. We had a wonderful visit together. He was so delighted that I had taken, I didn't tell him why. He just thought that I just got in my car one day and I had to go visit him. I was running away. But God can even use that. 1 week later, I got a call from his daughter. Daddy died. We were going to have his funeral here in Fredericksburg. But we wonder if we could do it back home in the home church. And so I did his funeral and we buried him there at the graveyard next to the church. And I tell you, we have a big God. We have a God who's able to supply all of our needs. It's not always easy. But we have a God who's able to supply all of our needs. Because he wants every one of us to be missionaries to others who don't have a God to care for their needs. Now that's our job. Are you ready to get on with that ministry? I don't hear a whole lot of shouting. Let's pray. Father, help us to get ready for this work that you're calling us to. God, I want to confess to you that when I was first asked to come here, I wasn't sure I wanted to. And yet it's been clear to me that you've called me to be here, to be a part of this wonderful gathering of people, lovely people, wonderful people, hardworking people. I've just fallen in love with being here. But I also believe that you sent me here for a purpose. And the purpose isn't to ease this congregation into the grave. I believe there's a work yet to be done that you're calling us to. It may not be a big church, a big work. You probably aren't calling us to be the biggest church in this county. But it's clear to me that there is work that you want us to do here. And so I pray that you would prepare us for that work. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to our closing hymn and let's sing together number 106.
Silver or gold,
yes, red, 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 red.
That I always want to sing that. Because honestly, I have a wonderful, beautiful wife and four sons, and we've lived a wonderful life traveling all over the world. But I would have given everything of that up to just follow Jesus. Because I would rather have Jesus than anything else that this world has to offer. And I hope I can convince you to join that church with me. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people say, Amen. 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 Praise God. Oh, yeah.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Go now in peace.
Go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere.
That's my prayer for all of us, that no matter where we go this week, the love of God will surround us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Have a great rest of the day.